Chief Earl Oldperson. I think it's fair to say a chief through the ages and a chief for the ages, too. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe or share it if you like. Today, we get a glance back at the life and appreciate the legacy of Chief Earl Oldperson of the Blackfeet Nation. There's sorrow, of course, in the passing, but joy, too, as we hear from our guest, State Senator Susan Weber from Browning and a member of the Blackfeet Nation. From his musical giftings as a youngster to his advocacy for culture and tradition, and then later on in life, too, his message of examining how we treat each other. A lot to take away from this one. Chief Earl Oldperson today on Voices of Montana. Time to look at the history and the legacy of Chief Earl Oldperson. And joining us for that is Susan Weber from Senate District 8. She is a state senator from the Browning area and a member of the Blackfeet Tribe. Good morning, Susan. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning. Doing very well today.
Thank you for being here. Our condolences. Well, why don't you tell us how much Chief Earl Oldperson has meant to your tribe over the years, and then we do want to look at the history and the legacy, what he was like as a child, and how he advocated and how he defended for the tribe and tried to preserve the culture and the language, and then he had a unity message as well. But your initial thoughts on the passing of Chief Earl Oldperson?
Well, I got to say, our community's in mourning. The Blackfeet Nation is in mourning. Yesterday was when he came home. I was there, and the streets were just lined with people trying to see the hearse, trying to see the procession. And it was joyful. And even though it was a sad time, it was joyful. We were bringing our chief home, and we knew this day would come. We knew that, you know, he was getting on. 92 years old, he had been in every, like some of the, like John Murray, which is one of our cultural leaders. He said, you know, he belonged to all of us. He meant something to every family on the reservation. And that isn't an exaggeration, because he did. He was my stepfather's first cousin. And so we knew him quite well. And growing up with him in the tribal council was, that's all I knew. You know, I was born after that, and he was in tribal council starting from 1952. And so he meant something to every family on this reservation. And I'm glad to have known him as long as I have. And I think everybody is in the same thought. But yesterday was a joyful time. We were bringing our chief home for the last time. And it was sad, but joyful.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And I think that I'd like to see that in everybody's case. I know that's not the case for all, because there are certain circumstances that may surround the passing of a life that make it hard, but I'm glad to hear that. There ought to be some joy in this. Talk about, I don't know how much you know of him as a younger person, because he was 92 when he passed, and he started advocating for the Blackfeet tribe as a very young person. What are the stories of him as a younger man and out as how he developed into the statesman for the Blackfeet Nation?
Oh, yeah. He told the stories himself. He told the stories of when he was a child, when my stepfather, Henry Bear Medicine, died. They were first cousins. His mother was Molly Bear Medicine Oldperson, so they were very close. And he would tell the stories himself about them being just normal, rambunctious children in Star School, which is a little community about 5 miles or so, kind of northwest of Browning. And so his father, Juniper, was at that point in time, was a tribal cultural leader. He was the chief. He was a hereditary chief himself. And that's kind of how Earl became the hereditary chief after his father. Mm. And so... he would tell stories about him and my stepfather, you know, playing jokes, riding horses, you know, just they sounded like they were a couple of really rascals. and then they grew. But Earl, I think, you know, when he started because he was the son of Juniper Olperson, who was the political and cultural leader and a hereditary chief himself. So he just kind of more or less fell into that as his son. And one of the things about Earl, he was bilingual. I'd say he was multilingual because I've heard him speak the Cree language and some Crow language. But basically, he was bilingual, and he was very well spoken at that time when a lot of the people only spoke Blackfeet. And so he would say it. He was an interpreter because they got him to interpret because he was so eloquent in his words, and he could portray what they were trying to say as they negotiated or as they talked to officials. So he was instrumental in interpreting what the elders want to get across, especially when their interpreters basically had a rudimentary knowledge of the language, where he was very fluent.
I want to take a short break here. State Senator Susan Weber is with us here, served Senate District 8, a member of the Blackfeet tribe, and with some family connections and relations to Chief Earl Olperson. We'll talk about those burial ceremonies here upcoming as well. I'm looking at a Wikipedia reference and a little bit here on Chief Earl Olperson. He talked about musical skill and dancing ability at a very young age. We'll come on back and then also talk more about preserving the traditional language of the Blackfeet Nation. We're back with more. First, we've got Brian Bennett with headlines.
We're big fans of stability. It's not something you hear every day, but in an industry as volatile as agriculture, it's really good to know. At Northwest Farm Credit Services, we've been financing the needs of farmers and ranchers for over 100 years, through thick and thin, because we believe in what we do and who we do it for. So if partnering with a stable lender sounds good to you, give us a call. We'd be happy to help. Northwest Farm Credit Services, here to help you grow. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Tom Schultz, we're back here on the Northern News Network's Voices of Montana. It's good to have you here as we're talking about Chief Earl Olperson, who passed away at the age of 92, a battle with cancer, the longest serving, as they say, elected tribal official in America. It's across the globe and across these decades of time that he met with a lot of presidents, and he certainly served as a leader for the Blackfeet Nation. Susan Weber's with us. She's with from Senate District 8, state senator, and also from Browning. Susan, again, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. It's not just in this Wikipedia article, but the Great Falls Tribune has done a couple of nice articles on him as well. And it says here in the headline, childhood filled with Blackfoot song and dance. Is that something you talked about?
Yes, yes. That was Earl's gift. Earl knew all the songs. There was Blackfeet men historically. They had gift of song, and they could hear a song, and then they could sing it back, and then they would add it to their repertoire. Well, Earl was kind of one of the last ones to be able to do that, and he knew all the society songs. Like each society in our culture, they have at least three songs that goes with that society. Like I'm from the Greenwood Burner Society, and then there are the Greenwood Burner Society songs. There's three of them. Of course we have our flag song. We have the Siksika our sister tribes up north, they all have their, like, a national anthem. We call it a flag song. And he knew all of them. And that was his gift. He could just turn it on when he needed to and when the occasion called for whatever songs there needed to be. But he had a lot of, also a lot of young singers, including the Armstrong brothers, that, and his own grandchildren, grandsons that have picked up that and carried on that that legacy of Earl Oakerson's music. And you could see it throughout Indian country. You know, he was the MC of a lot of the powwows. Kiayo, the Kiayo powwow at the University of Montana isn't going to be the same, that's for sure, with his passing, because he was the MC for so many years at that powwow. Now I don't know what would happen. It's going to be different, that's for sure, without him there.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that when we come on back as we explore again more of the advocacy and the preserving of traditions. Our flags are flying at half staff today through Friday in honor of Chief Earl Oakerson. We'll continue more on this discussion, his legacy and his life, on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Did you know Montana has the highest rate of suicide in the nation? It's preventable. Get to know the warning signs: hopelessness, depression, isolation, and increased alcohol use. If you are concerned about a loved one, ask, are you suicidal? Offer hope. Stay with them. Contact a healthcare professional or call the Montana Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK. Suicide is not what we want Montana to be known for. Brought to you by the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
So Susan Weber's with the state senator from Browning as we're looking at this life and this history of a statesman from Montana, but the Blackfeet Nation, specifically Chief Earl Oakerson. Susan, I appreciate your time and discussing this. And as you mentioned, I know the tribe and people saw it coming there. He was getting up in age, 92, and was battling cancer as well. But there's a joyful celebration that's going on here. And that's a great way to end your time here on Earth. More than on how he preserved this tradition in your culture, and specifically the language, because I remember quite a few years back, there was a big discussion about our native cultures possibly losing their language because people didn't speak it anymore. And then there were resources and sort of a rededication to bringing that language back to life, you know, within the reservations, within the tribes. But it seems like Chief Earl Oakerson, through all of his life, was a big advocate for the language.
Oh, yes, he was. You know, when he emceed, he always opened with the Blackfeet language. He always opened with the prayer in Blackfeet. Anywhere he went, that's what he did, so that we could remember the prayer. And we could, as he blessed the people, as he blessed the travelers, as he blessed the visitors. And, you know, his thoughts were always for the people. But language preservation, all tribal language preservation was very, very important to him, as well as song. He was the consummate teacher. When you would run into him on the street or at the post office or at his tribal chambers, he always greeted you in Blackfeet. And then we would talk in English. But he would always throw in those Blackfeet words that we could remember, that we could follow. And that was very important to him. There has been a movement for the revitalization of all tribal languages. I was just at Rocky Boy, and I think the last fluent speaker of the Chippewa language had just passed, I believe a month ago or so. So we're in danger. The cultural languages, the tribal languages, we're losing them. But with Earl's support, the Nisipuwatsin, the Real Speak Immersion School, and then with the state, with the tribal language preservation that we bill that we always support. That is the language is being taught in the schools with the immersion programs kind of built into the schools. And so, you know, he was pretty happy with that. He was pretty happy with because it was the school system that, you know, took away our language, inhibited us from speaking our own language. And it's ironic and it's kind of real nice that it's the school system that's helping us preserve it now that it's critical that we preserve our languages.
Yeah. How is that effort going?
It's going very well. My granddaughter had been in the immersion classes in Browning Public Schools since she's been in third grade. Now she's in sixth grade. And they are taught the culture. They're taught the language. They're taught the songs. And these children are very, very, they're just like sponges. They just pick it up so easily. She knows more Blackfeet than I do.
Yeah. This was printed in the Great Falls Tribune, as I mentioned. There's a good story about, or this is actually in that Wikipedia file, what his parents said to him, and it's in Blackfeet here, but I certainly couldn't pronounce it, that his family said that each day his parents greeted their children with the words, I wish I could pronounce it there, meaning good morning, get up, try hard.
I'll help you.
Okay.
I'll help you there. Itamaskinati, nipawat, ikakuman. Okay. Itamaskinati is, it's a good morning. And now we're verb stem languages, so we don't say good morning. We say, it's a good morning. We describe the morning.
Oh.
Nipawat, get up. Nipawat, ikikuman, try hard.
That's good advice for everybody. Good morning. Get up. Try hard. Yeah.
And you know what's interesting is, I said that to my sons, and now I have two grandsons that live with me, and I say that nipawat, nipawat, get up, try hard, greet the morning, and so I think that was pervasive through all of our families. That's what makes us a tribe, that makes us a people. I think we all say that. I know my mother said that to us. If we slept past 8 o'clock, it was almost sacrilege.
Right.
Then we all have to be up.
You're not trying hard if you sleep past 8 o'clock. Yeah. What did he say? What did Chief Earl Oldperson say about all these dignitaries that he met?
I just have to say, when he met all of these people, after a while it became old hand. He mm-hmm. just took it, you know, like they were normal people. He was very down to earth, and a lot of them were down to earth. That's what he would say, is that, oh yeah, I met, you know, Barack Obama, or I met George Bush, or I met, you know, the Queen of England. But it was more, he wasn't very impressed, I guess, with their titles. It was them as a person. Then he walked away, you know, and he said, well, I met the Queen of England. And that was it. Yeah, she's a nice person. and he was very down to earth, and I guess he expected all of these dignitaries to be down to earth as well. You know, in our culture, if you get too full of yourself,
yeah,
that's against our cultural values.
Yep.
You have to be humble. You have to have humility. And so that's how when he met these people, that's how he greeted them, was just like another person.
Yeah, that's so key to, I think, living a peaceful life, humility and thankfulness. There's, again, I'm referencing the article out of the Great Falls Tribune, and kudos to Great Falls for covering it this way. They did an article in 2020 that they, a segment of this, they reprinted here most recently, where Chief Earl Oldperson said, don't be afraid of one another. Our young people need to know that. Help one another out, uplift each other, and if you can protect someone, do it. We have spiritual ways. There's someone looking down on us. If you could, and I know it's subjective, but what did Chief Earl Oldperson, what would he say about where we see ourselves today, not just in the Blackfeet Nation, but every tribe on this great earth.
You know, that's what we need to do. And that was impressed upon us over and over. I know me as a child, I went to boarding school, an Indian boarding school here on the reservation. And Earl would come down every month, I believe, you know, because we were housed and at this facility, this BIA facility, Bureau of Indian Affairs. And he would come down and he would tell us stories. And most of our stories have to deal with how to treat people properly. Most of our cultural stories are Napi stories, are Scarface stories. All of those have to, at the end, it's how to treat people properly and how to treat people good. And he lived that. And he pressed upon us young people that we need to do the same. And today it's with Facebook, all the social media, where people can be anonymous and just do whatever or say whatever they want to say. I think that's really cut into our cultural values. Earl was a tribal leader, not just for the Blackfeet, but all across Montana. Every tribe so far that I know has lowered their flags in respect. Everybody knew him. And then so it was up to us to help each other. And that's kind of what I do today. I have taken those words to heart. And so that's what I do today, is that I try to help as many people as I can. And I think a lot of us are like that.
I do, too. I don't think it matters the color of your skin. If we're treating each other properly, we're going to have... we're going to have more unity. He had a message of unity. I know that resonated within the tribal community an awful lot, but I think it also resonates outside of that, because we are all humans here and trying to help each other out. What do you expect to see? We just have just a couple of minutes here, and I know we've got this afternoon. He'll be escorted to the Browning High School gym, and he'll lay in state there until Friday, which is his funeral, at 11 a.m., and then a special church service is planned for 7 p.m. on Thursday. Did I get all that information right?
Yes. Yep, that's correct.
It's going to be emotional. Are you gearing yourself up for that, Susan?
I am. And, I think we all are in this community. We're just kind of holding our breath. Today, when they escort him into the gym, because he was a singer first and foremost, that all of the singers and drummers from the community and other communities are going to sing him into the gym. That should be breathtaking, you know, and that's when the emotions are going to be seen. And I will be there. I'll be in front row.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also not looking forward to it. We have to do this, and we have to do this because he was a man of great stature. He was a man of great values and morals. And he, like I said in the beginning, he belonged to everyone.
I appreciate that. He is a leader. Susan, State Senator Susan Weber. Susan, thank you for your time and your kind and your words today. Appreciate that. And our best to you and all, okay?
Thank you. Have a good day.